My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm not using the big board because we blew it. So guess what I'm doing? I'm sitting in a car. Hell yeah. My car, to be more precise. A 1986 Porsche 944. Yeah, buddy. I've had this car a long time. We've been through a lot together, this little car and I. And I'm going to take you with me. It's been kind of a fun day so far. And it's just beginning. Had a nice little brunch with the wife. I've got this podcast I'm doing, this show today. I'm doing another episode of this show, which will run later. And if that wasn't enough, I've got a blues show that we're going to do later on tonight. Yep, it's a Sunday where I'm at right now. I don't know where it is where you are. It doesn't really matter per se. Because that's the beauty of on-demand entertainment. It can be a Tuesday at 4 o'clock, or it could be, you know, a Thursday at 1 a.m., wherever you are. It's what I love about these podcasts. On-demand content, baby. That's where it's at. So, yeah, I blew a board. How did that happen, you ask? Well, we were doing a live show at the Stage Stop the other night, and the little power cable that runs the whole thing just completely blew out, and the board itself was getting noisy, and it had all sorts of issues. But here's the beauty of it is Jeff has another board, which he's bringing over. Man, we're sourcing equipment left and right to keep this thing going. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the Patreon, whatever you want to call it, the link in the upper right-hand corner of the blog. For those of you who want to get involved in, you know, keeping this show going, because of little things like that. Now, we've been very fortunate and lucky with this little handheld recorder, of which I'm using right now, the Zoom. Done a ton of podcasts with it, this being one of them, and it's way groovy. Of course, I would like to have, you know, the big board, because it'll sound better. Plus, we want to take it places and do things like that. But we do have a nice one coming. So, yeah, thanks to the benevolence of others, the charity of others, we keep it going. And that's just how it works. I was having a nice long chat with Diana Fryer the other night about the way things are, you know, here of late with, you know, the status of Radio Memphis and what we're doing and where we're going and how we're putting it all together. And some of the big things that we have happening down the way, and, you know, you try and be as positive as you can. You've got to, you know, you always want to have that whole, you know, hey, we're looking forward to this, that, or the other. And, you know, those of you who own your own business will understand that frustration, you know, of sometimes is it worth getting out of bed for? I've had that question put to my mind a million or so times. And I tell you one thing about all of this is that, you know, if you're looking to start your own business, be smart about it. Don't do what I did, which is throw caution to the wind and throw everybody you know under the bus, because that's kind of what it's like. It's not for the faint of heart, I will tell you that. There's a lot that you have to consider when you get into something like this, especially, you know, if it's in a line of work that you know and that you're comfortable doing and having a good time with, that's all well and good. But you've got to remember, when you talk about the word sacrifice, it's going to get defined to you. You may think you know what it is, but by God, when you get into your business and you're doing everything you can to keep the doors open, you're going to learn exactly, and I mean exactly, what sacrifice is. And it's hard to describe. I mean, people will say, well, you know, I give up doing this or I give up doing that. And it's like, you know, I give up going to the movies. Oh, great. Yeah. No, that's not sacrifice. You know, giving up, you know, you change your diet, for example, and you'll say, well, I'm making the sacrifice. I could get this, but I'm going with this route because it's you know, it's a little cheaper. You could technically call that a sacrifice, but that's not, you know. Sacrifice has always been about the, you know, the things that you, and I'm not talking materialistic things, I'm talking about the things that you have to go through in your own head. I've lost a lot of friends over this. That's not necessarily a, you know, a good thing at all, and it's not a bad thing depending on who those people were. And you find yourself, you know, sacrificing relationships to people who you believed you could trust, or people that you really believed were, you know, a big part of what you were doing. It turns out not so much. And sometimes that includes your own family. Believe it or not, that does, you know, that does happen. And you go round and round with the people you love and care for about this crazy idea that you've launched into about running your own business, and they, you know, you're a fool. I've actually had somebody tell me, one person now, this is only one, that when Clear Channel had reoffered my old job back to me on a few occasions, this one individual said I was a fool for not taking it, that I should have jumped at the chance to, you know, to go back to my old gig. And let me tell you something, folks. There really isn't enough money in this world to make that happen. It's just not right. You know what I watched that company do to people, and what they did to me and to other folks. It's not cool. It's not right. And you know, my conscience does not have a price. And you already feel like you've kind of sold your soul a little bit anyway, but. You know, for God's sake, there's really only things that you can do. You can only go so far as to put up with this sort of nonsense. So you just have to, you have to stick to your guns, and you have to stick in, you know, stick to what you believe in, and go with it. You know, you see a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, you know, you have to seek the advice of others, and you have to go with your own heart, your own guts, your internal feelings on that, because that's really what's more important. You know what I'm saying? You follow your own dreams, and then you find that with enough hard work, yeah, things do come true. I'm living proof of that, although sometimes it doesn't seem like, you know, it's on exactly where it should be, but, you know, hey, these things take time. This is really remarkable. I'm behind a car that has student driver written on it. Please be patient. And it's funny because the back has a light on it that's flashing, a little yellow light, and there's one on the front as well to really, I guess, warn people that, hey, there's a rookie behind the wheel here. Yeah, please be patient. Yeah, learn. They're teaching them all the right moves. Use a signal. That'll quickly get dropped. But yeah, what I was talking about, yeah, you've got to follow your own thought process. You got to follow your own heart on this sort of thing. Does it always pay off? No, not at all. Sometimes you do fail, but you cannot allow yourself to fail as a result of trying or not trying. You got to keep it up. You got to keep after it. If one thing doesn't work, you try another angle. You keep going until you finally realize what you want to do, because then there's that ultimate thing where what you do for a living doesn't feel like work. You know, and that's another old saying. I've always loved that. If you do what you love and you find a way to make a living doing it, then it isn't work. You know, you're not working. You're having fun. And that's, you know, that goes back to the two rules that I built Radio Memphis on. The first rule being have fun. Second rule, don't fuck up. And it's remarkable to me how many times people have managed to not have fun. And I guess because we do, and I'm one of them. There's been some times where I wasn't having a good time. We all have that. There's certain aspects of what I do for a living is not fun, but this is the way it goes. Every job is like that. Everything we do in life. If life was always about getting up and having a great time every day, well, that's what we strive for. But you still have you have those moments where you think, what the hell am I thinking? What the fuck was I thinking starting all of this? But you go on. That's what we do. So here we are, and I'm working without a board for the moment. Now, the next show will have a board on it, so it'll sound a lot better than this. But it is kind of fun to grab a hold of the old Zoom and drop it in the car. Now, my car is a manual transmission, so I'm having to drive it a little differently. And I've got headphones on just to make sure that the... because I have the window down, believe it or not. And it's it sounds like it's going to be okay to me. That's a cool thing. I got to make a turn here. Hold on. Sorry for the edit. I know things sound a little different now. That's because I have since parked the car, and I'm back at a place I was a couple of weeks ago. The lovely confines, if you will, of Overton Park. It's not so much confine. That's a bad word. It's an expansive park. It's a pretty park. It's a cool place. Now, it's funny because earlier this morning, it rained like crazy, and everything is all wet, which means there's not that many people out here, which is kind of a shame on a nice summer Sunday like we have here. Earlier, my wife and I went shopping. And it's funny. You have to keep in mind that my wife is one cat away from being a cat lady. A crazy cat lady. And as a result, you have these really weird conversations about things like cat litter. I'm going to tell you, because I'm the one, not the one, but I'm usually the one that has to deal with the cat box, as much as I loathe it. The Arm & Hammer cat litter, don't buy it. I don't care if they pay you to use it. It's garbage. It stinks. It's the whole house smells of cat litter. I mean, which is better than smelling like cat pee, I suppose. And we went back to the old standby of Tidy Cats just for the stance of using it, you know. It just seems to be a little easier to use because it clumps better. This is so bizarre. I'm having a conversation about cat litter, for God's sake. This is how the world, this is what my world has turned into, a conversation about cat litter. Please. We have these two cats, one of which is just insane. An absolute monster. He gets locked up at night because he's an asshole. If you never thought that a cat could be an asshole, yeah, you need to spend some time with mine. Because one definitely is. The other one actually acts like a cat. You know, he does what he's supposed to. He does cat things. The other one, not so much. He is an asshole. That's why he gets locked up at night in another room. He likes to do stuff like pound on the door in the middle of the night. Or howling. Singing the song of his people. And does it specifically because he can. All right, I found a nice place to sit down here. You know, regarding podcasters and podcasting, I have been fortunate enough to be included in a Facebook group on Memphis Podcasters. I don't know if that's the name of it or not, but at any rate, I was invited to join it. And there's quite a number of folks here in our area that enjoy doing the podcasts. And there is some very creative stuff out there. There really is some really fun stuff. I don't have all of the ones in front of me. I know Gil Wirth, our good friend there at the Game Show podcast, has two or three that he's floating in his network, which is way cool. But at any rate, I mention this because there's going to be like this meeting that's going to come, and we're all going to kind of get together and meet each other and see what, you know, I guess compare notes and that kind of thing, which is going to be interesting. It'll be like on a, I don't know, like a Wednesday night or something. And what I'm wondering is if I'm going to be walking into a room where everybody's got microphones going. Wouldn't that be something? Everybody's going to be podcasting about themselves and about everybody else. I may do the same thing. I may bring this thing along, and Jeff and I'll just wander around and start talking to people and meeting who all these, you know, meeting all the podcasters. You know, why not? I mean, it's like I said, it's becoming a real thing here. You've heard Jeff mention this a time or two, that when it comes to technology, when it comes to things that are new and cool and groovy, God tells Memphis last. It always starts out on the East Coast, it starts out on the West Coast, and it all kind of moves its way in. And Memphis being in basically the middle of the country, the distribution capital of the universe, that we're always sort of the last ones to figure it out. And I don't know, I'm sure there's been podcasters long before you know, all of that. They just probably never really had much traction about it. But the thing is that it's good to see, you know, it's, if you got something to say, you can say it, you can do it, you can get out and get out into the thick of it. The technology is just so simple these days that it's not terribly difficult to put something together and enjoy creating and talking, especially if you have something to say. You know, if you feel like you need to get something off your chest, that's a good way to do it. Lord knows, I find it very cathartic. I enjoy the hell out of doing it. You know, even if it's something as mindless as, you know, talking about cat litter, you know, the basic operation, the basic understanding of speaking about things that are on your mind, you know, keep people up to speed on what's going on. It's a little different for me. I understand that, you know, there are a bunch of you folks that have listened in due to Radio Memphis, because you've, you know, heard me on the air there. Maybe you want to learn more about what was going on with the station, or if you just, you're amused by this. And if you're that individual, I certainly do appreciate that. As of this recording, some 23,000 of you have discovered this podcast. That's cool, and I really do appreciate that. I'm still sort of blown away by that. That's a big number. You know, like, if you think, well, you know, you're talking about 23,000 people, it's as if I stand in front of a group of 23,000 people once a week and we have this discussion about cat litter or about podcasting or about walking through a park or anything of that nature. So it is nice. It's nice to vent my spleen from time to time and enjoy the moment of letting it all kind of hang out there for a bit, you know, for as short a time or as long of a time. Hope you enjoyed the Dean Zachary podcast while I'm thinking about it. Illustrator for DC Comics and others. I'm not that big of a geek, but it was enjoyable. It was very enjoyable to hear, you know, the stories behind, you know, drawing Batman and, you know, thinking about the movies and stuff like that. I know these movies do, as we learned, you know, they generate so much because of the immense interest in them. People that never really followed comic books in the past have really kind of jumped into it because they enjoy the, well, I guess they enjoy the Robert Downey Jr. is really what it boils down to. Hey, whatever works, right? Whatever makes the money, whatever makes things fly, that's important. All right, damn, my phone's ringing. Hang on, I'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry, phone ringing. People want something. What I was going to tell you is that what I like about days like this, and see, it rained so much earlier this morning, and things are still, you know, kind of wet and flooded. And here on a Sunday, where normally this park would be just teeming with activity, it's actually kind of quiet. I mean, there's a few folks out here, but what is really cool about this, I feel like I have the place to myself. I'm one of these guys that I don't want to, like, intrude on what people are doing when I want to walk and check something out, because, you know, it's, a lot of people feel sort of the same way. They don't necessarily want to see what all I'm doing, especially if I'm standing here running my mouth to nobody. Well, I don't mean you, nobody. I'm just talking about nobody in general. It's not like I'm interviewing anybody. But there's this, I just walked up here to this really cool lake. Of course, it's all flooded through here. There's like some ducks in it and cool stuff. Yeah, well, how about that? It's a nice little city park. There's a dog park here, too. People can bring their dogs and take them off the leash and let them run and go crazy. So enough of all that. What I really want to kind of get into was something that I've been kind of stewing on over the past several days, was the, if you, those of you of age will understand this, that whole greed mentality of the 80s. Remember that movie Wall Street? You know, Michael Douglas talking about how greed was good. It's a great speech. But it really highlighted just how, you know, messed up people can be about these sorts of things. And what's really shocking to me is that, well, not really shocking, I guess, because we've all lived it and we're still doing it, that there came a point in the earliest part of the 21st century that people actually believed, and still do, that greed is good. And along with that came this generation of folks. Let's call them millennials, shall we? Because I know they hate that term. With the whole me, me, me thing. The self-entitlement thing. I'm not going to work my way up. How dare you think that I should work my way up into anything? Because greed is good, they believed. I shouldn't have to be that guy that starts at the bottom and works his way up. That's for suckers. And they get upset when things don't go their way. Well, sorry, Buttercup, but life is about the attempt, the combining two words I shouldn't have been trying to combine. It's about attempting achievement, is what I meant to say. And when you attempt achievement and sometimes fall on your face, i.e. fail, at that angle, you pick yourself up. If you have, you know, that kind of fortitude, you pick yourself up and you keep going, right? Isn't that the thing to do? Instead of going, well, it's not my fault something didn't work out right. It's not my fault I lost my job. It's not my fault that people think I'm an ass. Well, that's the limits of self-entitlement there, my friend. There's a generation behind the millennials that is coming up now. These folks may be our last best hope for civilization. They believe in working for their lives. They believe in putting in hard work. They've understood the initial values that were instilled into people like us. As it was so well put to me the other day, we are the last generation of people whose parents beat the shit out of without having to answer for it. That's cool. And it's true. It's very true. This is why I wouldn't be a good parent. I'd be in jail for whipping my kid. I'll tell you that right now. If I had a kid, yeah, I'd beat the snot out of him. Especially every time, you know, he mouthed back or she mouthed back. Little boy, little girl, it don't matter. You mess up, you get your ass beat. That's how I was raised. Now it's like, oh, we can't do that. It was so wrong. You know, all this horseshit that's involved in corporal punishment in schools and stuff, you know. Quite frankly, if the kid screws up in school, the school, I think, should have every right to beat the hell out of your kid. Now we worry about whether or not they're bringing guns to school. Something we never had to worry about before when I was a kid. Lord have mercy. Hell, when I was in school, I carried a pocket knife. Nowadays, if I caught anywhere within 300 feet of a damn school with that pocket knife, I'm the one that goes to jail. Crazy. But that's the world that we live in. Little Bobby can't, you know, he can't succeed in this life because he never knew what it was like in school to get his ass beat because we have this thing against bullying. Yeah, is bullying a good thing? Not necessarily. But it's part of growing up. You know, there are people out there who deserve to have their ass beat. Survival of the fittest, it makes them stronger. I think. Oh, I know there might be some of you that listen to that and go, oh, how cruel of you to even think that or suggest that. Well, the bottom line is this. If you can't learn to stand on your own two feet and face the world and all of its troubles, then quite frankly, you don't deserve to have the nice things that the rest of us have worked really hard for. Life knocks you down, what do? You try and get back up. And you keep trying and you keep going and you keep doing until you can't do it anymore. And it happens. We're all human. We all have our breaking points. But these people that fold up at the first sign of trouble and failure, well, that's just not right, my friend. It's not right at all. And I think we've got a generation of these people out there that believe that. They think that fresh out of school, they should be given the top corner office, that they don't have to work as hard as everybody else did, and that things are going to be different for them. By God, we're going to take 1,000 years, 2,000 years of civilization, and we're going to change all that, because this is how we are going to live. We're not going to do this. Well, sadly, as a result of that, and what terrifies the ever-living bejesus out of me, is that within the next 10 to 15 years or longer, these people are going to be in control of all of our lives. These are the people who will be in public office. These are the people that will be the leaders of industry. Right or wrong, these are the people that we have to deal with. And I think what will happen, and I think what I'd like to see happen, is that there will be this great uprising. Not necessarily a full-on revolution. Just the thought of that kind of makes me giggle a little bit because of what I'm going to say. Where people have had enough. We have allowed ourselves to be ruled by the guy that makes $7 an hour. Do you know that? Every time you go to a store, you go to a fast food restaurant, you go and you do your thing, these people will tell you how to live your life. You can't have it your way. You cannot go through here because I said so. You cannot do this, that, or the other because I was given the authority at $7 an hour to tell you how to live your life here in this place and time. I think what will happen, though, is enough people will say, you know what, screw you. I am going to do things the way I want to have them done. I know it seems like an anarchist point of view, but I think in small doses, small measurements, little victories, if you will. You know, for example, one of the things that I find very difficult, and I think a lot of you will probably assume the same thing, is it's sometimes it's difficult to lose your shit over something at a particular store, for example, and the person that is trying to assist you just doesn't care. Well, they don't care because they have no reason to care. Think about it. They're just at this place, one of their two or three jobs, to make the bills. They don't care about that company. They don't care about the people that they wait on or serve or have to answer stupid questions to. Because, yeah, there's that. I'll give you that. There are people out there that really ask dumb questions. And they don't understand what all the world is about. But these people that work in these jobs, they don't care. So it's kind of hard sometimes to not, you know, to completely lose your shit with them because they don't. They don't really care. And, you know, you get pissed with them. You start screaming and hollering or, you know, that kind of thing. And I've done that, regrettably, because it usually turns out that they'll just look at me as, well, this guy's an asshole. And there you go. Out the door you go and they forget about you. But companies don't invest in their people. And when that happens, you got problems. And not only are they not investing in their people, they're taking people that are unqualified and promoting them. And it's real simple as to why that happens. It's real simple. They're finding people who are willing to do these jobs for the rate that they're paying them. You know, there's a big problem in the radio industry right now. You know, not to beat that to a, you know, a bloody pulp. But one of the problems is that since the great, you know, bloodletting of 09 and forward, there have been a lot of people in this business that are put out of work over corporate greed. Now, as a result of that, guys like me that make their living with their voices, doing commercials and things like that, would normally get to command, like, you know, a couple hundred bucks a spot. I'm talking like a 30-second recorded commercial, produced and everything. Nowadays, they're bidding. These guys are all bidding for this work. And they're happy to take the $5 that comes that way. I refuse, absolutely refuse, to give that kind of talent away. You pay for it. Just because everybody's looking for that kind of work doesn't mean that you have the right to pay as little as you possibly can. I understand part of that. Let's be reasonable. The people that have destroyed this business aren't so much, you know, they're not entirely at fault. That's corporate. They're not entirely at fault. It's those that have been, those of us that have been blown out, that will also accept it, that will take what we can get. Desperate times, desperate measures, I get it. The bottom line is that the cream usually rises to the top, so it does create competition, and therefore, the good guys should hold out. That's why sometimes it's tough for me to do everything that I do and give it away. But that's life. That's what you have to do. Especially in this business. You don't give everything away. Everything that you're hearing right now, I gladly give to you for nothing. And I appreciate you that subscribe to this. I'd appreciate it even more if you went over to the Patreon site and throw me a buck. That'd be big. That way we can take care of, you know, little things like getting a new board. Technology, you know, yeah, it's getting cheaper, but, you know, still we got to pay for it. So when you get a moment, please click on that link. You can find it on the upper right-hand corner of the Blogspot page, rickcheddar.blogspot.com. And there again, see, I'm not greedy. I'm not asking for a lot. Don't want to, even with Radio Memphis. Not really asking for a lot. But as a result, our rates that we charge for advertisement, at the very least, a third cheaper than what Clear Channel or Cumulus will charge you for advertisement. They're high. They're expensive. Because of their greed. Well, they also have a, you know, higher overhead. They got to protect the guys at the top. The ones that make all the money for the company get treated like shit because they allow themselves to be treated as such. I know of one person, wish I could name names, but at this point in time I cannot, who's dealing with a situation where their company, and we all know somebody like this, their company literally takes money from them based on what they make. And it's, I can't really go any further than that because it would really kind of out the whole situation. But you have no choice sometimes because you're forced into these things. And you have to play by those rules if you want your water bill paid for. Man, that is messed up. And that is just not right on so many levels. People try so hard to be honest, I think. I'm talking about the little people. Try to be honest. You try and work hard. You try and keep your head down and fly under the radar. You try and do the right thing. But you always wind up getting stepped on or screwed. My wife and I love to have this discussion from time to time about how it always seems like it's always the assholes that do really well in this world. It seems that way. The guys that go around and inflict their will on other people because they can. And they do it because it benefits them. These are often the individuals who lie, cheat, and steal to get what they want in this world. And you wonder if they do ever have to answer for that. And I think to a certain degree they do. I'm a full believer in karma because I see it happen all the time. There are those who get what they got coming to them. And I do think that does happen. Although, you wonder sometimes how it runs on its own time. But it does. Karma is one of those things that you never know when it'll happen. Because there are people out there, we all know them, that deserve so much worse. And it's not like I'm willing, you know, bad tidings on people. Because that's not cool, you know. When one of my last conversations with the monkeys at Clear Channel, when they blew me out of there, was, I hope y'all get everything you want. I hope you get everything you deserve. And it's true. I hope they get everything they deserve. I guess, you know, if there is some sort of an afterlife, it would be a hell of some sort. It wouldn't be all this fire and brimstone. I think it would be, say, like a very greedy person, a greedy man who has lived his life stepping on others to grab whatever nickel he could, shoving his mother under a bus for a dollar if he could do it. Everything that goes with that kind of mentality. And he dies and he winds up meeting his maker, and his maker sends him to his hell. And his hell would be a gigantic room filled with stacks and stacks and stacks of money and gold. All the money he ever earned, all the money he ever collected, all the money that he took from other people, all the money that he tried to keep, he's now got it in the afterlife. What makes that a hell? He has no place to spend it. Nobody will take it. Your money is no good here. I think for a rich person, that would be hell, wouldn't it? Especially somebody who worships money that we see far too often. There are so many folks that's all they do. They worship the almighty dollar. The dollar is a necessary evil. You don't worry about it too much and it does come around. We've somehow miraculously been able to keep the bills paid while we continue on our journey with Radio Memphis. It's a struggle, yes, but we keep it going. But we're not greedy. Should fortune come to us, I know that we won't be the ones that just squander it away and never share it. You can't do that. Can't live your life like that. That makes things entirely too difficult. So there you go. Go out there and live your life. Do your thing. Screw what anybody else tells you. Work hard. And when you get lucky, spread it around. Remember those that helped make that possible. In my case, I fully intend on sending, you know, when things start going well, I will fully intend to send guys like Tim Spencer and Michael Oppenheimer a thank you card. Because if it wasn't for those guys and blowing us out and killing a good thing, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. It's a pretty safe bet. Life runs in very mysterious circles. And you have to remember that. You have to allow yourself the luxury, if you will, of a little bit of free thinking, where it's okay. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. But as long as you keep getting up and keep doing what you're supposed to do, you know what? Everything's going to be A-okay.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
I am in a place where there are 90,000 people around me. Kind of quiet for that, isn't it? Yeah, I'm at Elmwood Cemetery. The reason why I'm standing here and why I'm telling you this story is that Thomas Byrd still walks around in my house. Don't know anything about the man. He could have been a right bastard for all we know. Or he could have been a very decent human being. We don't know. But my research will continue on. Polish up the old headstone, if you will. I know that sounds like a dirty euphemism, and I probably shouldn't make that joke out here in a cemetery, but, you know, polishing the headstone does ring. It does ring kind of filthy. My apologies to those of the 90,000 around me that don't seem to be laughing at that joke.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
And that is that. Before I wrap it up this time around, I want to once again thank everybody who has subscribed to you. He's literally tens of thousands of subscribers. Thank you so much for being a part of this little podcast. A good friend in New Jersey, Rick Perry, not the former governor of the state of Texas, Rick Perry from Bounce the Cat. Look him up on the Facebook and on the Twitter. And I love putting the word "the" in front of social media. It makes me sound hip and cool, right? Rick has been such a good guy. Been a big fan of Radio Memphis and of this podcast. He shares it and sends it around and tells people all about it. And that's a good thing. And that's what I ask of you. If you cannot or don't want to contribute financially through Patreon, then if you would, each time you follow me on the Twitter or on the Facebook and you see a post about this broadcast or this podcast, then please share it. Tell everybody you know about it. Send it to your friends. And as he so well put it, which he was very kind to say, that, you know, this, you know, something to the effect of this being a pretty groovy artistic form of radio, and I suppose it is to a certain extent. The bottom line being that he said that if you like it, tell people about it. If you don't like it, tell people about it so they can find out how big of an ass you are, or something to that effect. Sorry, Rick, I paraphrased the hell out of it and completely rewrote it, but that's some mighty fine kind words there that from him, and appreciate everything that Bounce the Cat does for Radio Memphis and for all of his people as well. He represents a lot of musicians, so especially up in the Northeast and down in through Tennessee too. He is the manager for John D'Amato. He knows his stuff. He's a good fellow. But yes, do what he says. Share it. If you don't like it, share it anyway, and tell folks all about what From Radio Land can be about. All right, as you just heard, next week Jeff and I will be doing the show together. There's a reason for that, because I'm going to do it the same day that this one was done. I know that to be a fact, so he's going to be coming over, and we're actually going to do this like about an hour and a half before our broadcast this evening of the Booze and Blues. So it's been a busy day, a busy Sunday. You know, I try and allow myself one day a week to not really do much of anything, and that day is on Saturday. And I wound up going on the air this last Saturday with Diana, Saturday night. She did Around the World with Doc from 5 to 7, and then she and I went on from like 7 to 11 or something to that effect, and just had a large time. So yeah, I do work 7 days a week. But as I mentioned earlier, is it truly work when you're having fun? I don't think so. And it's certainly not work if I have to be greedy about it. I guess if anything, this particular show should have a little message, and it would be that. I urge you all, folks, to please don't be greedy. Don't support greedy. You remember the old thing about pigs and hogs, right? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Keep that in mind. Don't be a hog. Because we've all seen how the big hogs do get slaughtered, and by God, they're out there. So all right, I'm going to head it on back to the studio. Thanks again. You can find us at all the usual places if you're new to the podcast. iTunes is one spot that you can subscribe to. If you're into desktop listening, blogspot.com. Look for rickcheddar.blogspot.com. Player.fm, we're on the Blueberry, which you can get the app for Roku. and enjoy this on your television too. So there you go, my friends. Once again, thank you for being a part of all of this, and we'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.